Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by Alex Talich and Jamie Stoned. Actually, we're not joined by Jamie Snowden today. She's on vacation. Enjoying this week before the regular season gets crazy in a little while. On today's episode of Railbird Central, we are going to be recapping Saturday's preseason opener against the Tennessee Titans. Packers lose 20-16, but it's the preseason. We're not really too interested in the outcome. We're more interested in how players are developed and how they will fit into the Packers' plans. Trying to break down to 53 players, the 53-man roster at the end of training camp. So what I want to do on today's show, basically kind of go almost position by position down the roster, giving reactions, impressions from players I thought stood out, some that kind of maybe did the opposite, and just kind of share my thoughts on what I thought of the players themselves on Saturday evening. No guest on today's show, so if you want to, I've opened up the phone lines, area code 347-903-5994. Wrote it down there at the bottom of the page. If you want to call in and you want to talk some Packers football with me, by all means, go ahead. No guest on today's show, but I do have an announcement that I'm excited about starting this Wednesday. And then every Wednesday throughout the season, we will have joining us on the show, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, joining us for a fourth consecutive year on a weekly basis, just as he has the past three seasons, joining us every Wednesday to break down the previous week's game, looking ahead to the next week's game. So we'll be doing with him on Wednesday, talking about the Titans game, then looking ahead to the Packers' next exhibition game against the St. Louis Rams this upcoming Saturday. So that'll be really cool to have him join us on a weekly basis, as he's done for quite a while now. Glad to always have Nathan Yonke join us on the show. But let's get to this breakdown, the Packers preseason opener against the St. Louis Rams. Let's go through this position by position. Quarterback, okay, of course, the big news is in general here, Aaron Rodgers doesn't start the game. Not just Aaron Rodgers, at running back Eddie Lacy, wide receiver Jordy Nelson, arguably the team's three biggest stars, although it only happened on the offensive side of the football. The Packers actually had their stars on defense, guys like Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. They did have to play. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers getting the night off. So Matt Flynn gets the start Saturday night. Matt Flynn looks up and down. It's tough to get a gauge on how well any of the quarterbacks really played, seeing as the torrential downpour kind of affected conditions rather considerably. This was no small drizzle Saturday evening. In the first quarter of the game, at least, it was a torrential downpour, monsoon-like conditions. And that makes it really tough to evaluate what Matt Flynn did. The rain did let it. I think it went away for a while in the second quarter. I think it kind of came back in earnest again in the third quarter. It's very tough to get a gauge on these guys. Matt Flynn doesn't do anything special. In fact, the first drive of the game, they pretty much run the ball all the way down the field. I mean, Matt Flynn had his chances. He seemed to be off on a few throws, but it's hard to say. Is that due to the rain or is that due to Matt Flynn being off target? As we've come to find out, he's been a rather reliable guy operating the Packers offense last season, you know, back in his first stint in Green Bay years ago. I want to wait until I see more from Matt Flynn before kind of making a judgment about him. You know, how good is he in relation to the, you know, Scott Tolzien, things like that. Because Scott Tolzien looked good. And now, granted, Matt Flynn basically had to play in downpour conditions. By the time Tolzien came into the game, they had kind of abated a little bit. Not that the field, the ball wasn't wet, but Matt Scott Tolzien certainly didn't have to face the same conditions as Matt Flynn did. So Scott Tolzien looks better. And the takeaway with Scott Tolzien, looked comfortable operating the Packers offense. He looked like a leader out there. He's barking signals, has command of the huddle. It just looked more comfortable than he did at any point last year when he had to come in for those, you know, game and a half for the Packers in an emergency situation. Aaron Rodgers goes down for half the year. Seneca Wallace gets hurt. Scott Tolzien, you know, while you saw raw potential in him last year, he just didn't look like he had a full grasp of the Packers offense, and that seems to have changed. He just looked like he was comfortable out there, and he displayed what appears to be the strongest arm out of him and Matt Flynn and Chase Reddick. Scott Tolzien does seem to have the strongest arm. He was able to have a passer rating of over 100, threw for over 100 yards. He looked good out there. Now, he didn't throw any touchdown passes, but by the same token, he didn't throw any interceptions either. I thought the Packers should have gotten Scott Tolzien into the game one series earlier than they did. Kind of thought, you're kind of going with Flynn a little long here if we're going to get both Tolzien and Redding into the game. And, you know, the Packers did everything they could to get Scott Tolzien extra reps because of that fact. They, you know, whereas they could have during the preseason simply marched into halftime, and knelt down on the football with basically a minute left, they tried instead to run a two-minute drill to get Scott Tolzien some extra reps. I mean, they run out of time, but at least they tried. And then they run a two-point conversion in the second half simply because to get Scott Tolzien another play rather than just kick a basically meaningless extra point, although there was a point in the game where it kind of did make a difference. You're wondering, oh gosh, I don't want this game to go to overtime. Had they kicked the extra point, wouldn't have been that way. Regardless, Scott Tolzien, sharp outing considering the wet conditions. Was it downpour for him, but, you know, field still wet. Maybe the more notable play of the night for Scott Tolzien, he fumbles the football, trying to, you know, just one of those crazy football follies moments where the football just comes out of his hand while he tries to throw it, has the wherewithal to push, grab, hold a defensive player, kind of push him out of the way while Tolzien himself recovered it. It really was impressive, that play, showing, he really showed a desire to get that football. You know, sometimes, you know, quarterbacks who don't want to be hit just kind of give up. Well, Scott Tolzien showed a little moxie right there, I thought, in pushing the defensive player out of the way and going and falling on the football. So kudos to him for that. Chase Reddick, fourth string quarterback, I guess third string on Saturday night, fourth string if Aaron Rodgers started. But he looked a little bit lost out there. And understandably so. He's an undrafted rookie, not getting many reps in practice. But you start to understand why he's not getting many reps. He just doesn't look like he has it, at least compared to Flynn, to Tolzien. Maybe it'll come in time. But he's clearly the fourth-string quarterback, has no chance of unseating any of the players ahead of him. It'll be interesting to see if the Packers decide he's worth keeping on the practice squad. Maybe, I don't know if you want to give that, you know, spot to a guy like Reddick, especially if they carry three quarterbacks on the roster this year. I don't know if they'd keep a fourth on the practice squad. We'll see how it all plays out. So there's your quarterback analysis. Running backs, most impressive group of the evening in my post-game chips report that made its triumphant return for a game on Saturday evening. both blue chips went to Packers running backs. Of course, Eddie Lacy sitting out of the game, so James Starks gets the start. He puts the team on his back, carries them downfield the first drive of the game. Six out of the first eight plays of the game are running plays, all to Starks. He looks fantastic carrying the football, especially in the wet conditions. He just, it seemed to me James Starks made his own yards more so than anything the offensive line did for him. Not that the offensive line did a bad job, but James Starks just, you know, there seemed to be, you know, openings for him, but he just seemed to make the right decisions. Like, boom, one cut, I'm upfield. And he seemed to, you know, pick the correct decision, whether it was cutting back to the inside or just simply taking it off tackle. He always made the right decision and got upfield with some speed, averages over 7 yards a carry, you know, scores the first touchdown of the game. James Starks picking up right where he left off last season when he averaged 5.5 yards per carry over the entire season last year. Impressive in backing up Eddie Lacy. You got to feel good about the Packers running back situation. Should anything happen to Eddie Lacy, that James Starks can hold down the fort for a while at least. He's got to stay healthy, and thankfully James Starks stayed largely healthy last year. See if he can do it again. Second half, Rajon Neal is basically doing his best James Starks impression because the Packers have possession of the football. First possession, the second half, that Rajon Neal puts the team on his back, drives him down the field, scores a touchdown. Neal, an undrafted rookie out of the University of Tennessee, long shot to make the Packers roster, but making the most of his opportunities. Again, he looked like he made good decisions out there, although not quite as many cutbacks. A lot of his were runs to the edge of the field, but, you know, showing some decent speed in open space, and really showed some determination in scoring his touchdown. I think it was, you know, what was it, about a 12-yard run. But right, you know, he encountered a little traffic 2 yards away from the goal line, put his shoulder down, and crossed the plane of the end zone. That was what you really like to see out of Rajon Neal. You know, should anything happen to these guys, it's going to be tough for Neal to make the roster. But boy, he really is making an effort to say, you know, at the very least, you better keep me on the practice squad. And I don't know, there might be some other teams out there that might be interested in him. Might be tough for the Packers to sneak him on the practice squad. Who knows? Maybe if a running injury pops up, he could make the 53. He's making things interesting at the least. Not too much else notable at the running back position. Dewan Harris looked good. Didn't get a lot of playing time. He fumbled one kickoff, which I suppose we'll get to special teams later because that could be its own topic. Definitely was notable special team Saturday night. Michael Hill comes back from concussion. Doesn't do anything, you know, really outstanding, but I suppose first game back from a concussion, is just simply good to see him back out there and healthy enough to play. And Ladarius Perkins gets a little bit of playing time toward the end of the game. He got several carries. Again, nothing too special there. Between the undrafted rookies, between Rajon Neal, between Ladarius Perkins, I give the edge to Neal. He's bigger, he's stronger. Perkins is maybe quicker, but still a little bit on the small side for an NFL running back, I think. Unless you have like elite speed, I don't think Ladarius Perkins has elite speed. Nice player, tries hard, but just he's further down the totem pole than most other players. Okay, there's your running backs. Let's go to wide receivers. Jordy Nelson gets the day off, so Randall Cobb and Jarrett Boykin get the start, basically. they don't do a whole lot because when the starters were in the game, there was a downpour. The Packers hardly passed. Those guys don't get much playing time at all. And when they did, they were run blocking more than anything. So little to say about Cobb and Boykin, but that's okay. Those guys are veterans. They know the offense. They'll get more meaningful snaps in games 2, 3, and 4 of the preseason. It was more about evaluating the guys further down the depth chart. I thought maybe the one guy who perhaps had the best game was Kevin Dorsey, who's making a bid to be the fifth or the sixth wide receiver on the team. And he seems to be the kind of guy who's making the biggest impression, I think, of those guys who are on the roster bubble. Kevin Dorsey just seems to, when he gets his chances, which there haven't been many, but between family night, between the first preseason game, he looks good out there, catching the ball and doing so reliably, which we can't say for the rest of the players on the team, especially a guy like, for instance, Chris Harper, another bubble wide receiver, fighting to be the fifth or sixth wide receiver on the team. Well, Chris Harper, for every flash play he makes another in which you're questioning, wow, well, where's the consistency? He had the most receiving yards of the entire team. I think Chris Harper had 2 receptions for 55 yards, fairly nice long plays, the 2 balls that he caught. But then he also dropped 2 other footballs, including one that we referenced before, Scott Tolzien's 2-point conversion attempt. Chris Harper's wide open in the end zone, hits him in the chest, drops it. You know, he misses an opportunity to, you know, not just have a nice reception, but one that would have put points on the scoreboard. Not looking good for Chris Harper after also in the Packers family night event at Lambeau Field the previous week, dropping a long 50-plus yard bomb from Scott Tolzien. Chris Harper has to start putting it together rather quickly. Otherwise, he's going to find himself on the outside looking in. I think he is right. I think Kevin Dorsey has the inside track on Chris Harper right now simply because he's a little bit more consistent. Dorsey also has the possibility of potentially being a return specialist. He's practiced it in practice, not so much in games. We'll see if they give Kevin Dorsey more of a shot at returns as the preseason goes on. Those were the most notable ones. Devontae Adams had 2 nice catches. I suppose this could be the part we talk about special teams right here. The Packers surprisingly put Devontae Adams as their punt returner Saturday night. He had 2 career punt returns in college, so he doesn't have that much experience coming in. They don't use him as a punt returner in practice all that much. He's the guys getting the rotation during practice are, you know, the usual suspects, guys who've done it in the past, Randall Cobb, Micah Hyde, Tremont Williams. And they're also giving Kevin Dorsey a shot here and there. Jared Aberderis was getting his shot. Devontae Adams, all of a sudden, he's back there Saturday night in, again, monsoon-like conditions. And, you know, I think the Packers just want to see, you know, put him in an adverse condition and see how he responds. Well, Devontae Adams drops 2, muffs 2 punts. And you kind of have to feel sympathy for him because the conditions were so bad. But you feel like, okay, you fumbled the first one or you didn't field it cleanly. The second one, we're still in a downpour. You're backed up to the 10-yard line. Maybe it's just smartest to let the thing roll, if nothing else. Best case scenario, it reaches the end zone and the Packers get a touchback. Worst case scenario, well, it's downed inside the 10, but at least you didn't turn the ball over, which ended up being the worst case scenario, I guess, for Devontae Adams. Muffs the second punt, Rams take possession and score a touchdown just 1 play later. Not a very good, you know, start to Devontae Adams' punt return career in Green Bay. Thankfully, Adams looked better on offense. Caught 2 nice passes. They didn't. They only went for like 22 yards, but again, you know, it was more a factor of the route he ran than anything. He did a good job on offense. Everything is encouraging to me for Davante Adams on offense so far. He looks consistent out there. Doesn't look like he's making mistakes like Chris Harper is. I'm encouraged by what Davante Adams is providing on offense. We'll see if the special teams experiment continues. I think the Packers are just better off using some rotation of like Randall Cobb and Micah Hyde out there on punt returns. Why not put those guys out there? You know, they fair catch the ball half the time anyway, or at least between, you know, that or, you know, just letting it hit. They really don't, you know, every other punt return, you know, they don't even touch, so they can't get injured on it. So I think you use those guys, and I would let Davante Adams concentrate on wide receiver. Okay, tight end position. Richard Rodgers, surprisingly, kind of gets the most playing time with the starters. You thought maybe, well, Andrew Corliss, he's the veteran. He's going to see the most playing time at least right away. Richard Rodgers, they're going to make him earn it, you know. Maybe by the time the regular season started, he would be getting the most playing time. But no, the Packers surprisingly put Richard Rodgers out there with the first-string offense, and he, of course, you know, as we've been saying all training camp, looks big out there. He can actually block. He's 270 pounds, but he's not the 270-pound immobile tight end. He can actually do something with the ball in his hands. He can get downfield, and he can do something with the ball once it gets in his hands. You know, so many guys, tight ends, you know, they just, you know, catch the football and rumble upfield. Well, Richard Rodgers looks like he can do a little bit more than rumble. He's got a little fluidness to him. Maybe not as much as JerMichael Finley, but still able to do something with the football. He looks good, catches one pass. He dropped one later, which is a little unfortunate, but pass was a little bit off target as well. All in all, good start for Richard Rodgers, if albeit a short one. Corliss does nothing notable. Brandon Bostic is the other guy worth mentioning for two reasons. One, he has a holding penalty, which was a obvious mistake. You kind of sat there and scratched your head because Brandon Bostic was blocking downfield. I think DeJuan Harris was the running back at the time. You know, DeJuan Harris gets beyond Bostic's block, and Bostic is still hanging on to his guy, turning him around. Obvious hold. Packers get penalized. Thankfully, Brandon Bostic made up for that with a nice, what was it, a 24-yard catch and run. Just got the ball in the open field, got upfield, got the Packers, I believe, in red zone territory, scoring position. Did a very good job. A flash moment from Brandon Bostic early in the first half, I believe that was, of the game, and looking good in that regard. Nothing too notable from the rest of the tight ends on the roster. You know, Ryan Taylor, Jake Stoneburner, Justin Perillo. I'm not sure any of those guys even caught a pass. Offensive line. Attention is all on center, right? J.C. Tretter and Corey Linsley engaged in a battle for the center position. First time you've seen both of those guys in a Packers uniform, because Tretter never even so much as played a snap last year. So I think, you know, the attention was all on J.C. Tretter, at least to start off with, and looks good, I thought, for his first time ever in a game environment. He's a little bit taller than the Packers' typical centers have been. A little bit lengthier, has more, you know, just from head to toe and his wingspan, there's a little bit more there with J.C. Tretter than we've seen out of guys in the recent past. Scott Wells, Evan Dietrich Smith, Jeff Saturday. J.C. Tretter's got more length on all those guys. Now, I mean, that doesn't necessarily make him a good player, although it's something that, you know, can work to his advantage. He was across from Sammy Lee Hill, the Titans' veteran defensive lineman, for much of his stint while Treader was in there, and held his own, I thought. You know, again, we're talking about, you know, Treader not playing but a little more than a quarter, I believe. So it's not like we got a long look at him. But all things considered, a admirable debut, something to build off of with J.C. Treader. Now, Corey Linsley comes into the game. Very first snap, fumbled exchange between him and Matt Flynn. And again, you can make the argument part of it's due to the wet conditions. Part of it is simply switching centers mid-game, which, you know, likely doesn't happen in a regular season game. They just stick with one guy the whole time. I don't know how much work Lindsley's gotten with Flynn during practice. Probably kind of broken up between different centers that Matt Flynn is taking snaps from. But from there on out, that was Corey Lindsley's biggest mistake right there. Again, not standing out, neither good nor bad for Corey Linsley, I thought, in terms of his blocking, both run blocking, pass protection. Right now, you have to say J.C. Treader kind of continues to be in the driver's seat after a good first outing. By no means is the battle probably over yet, but seeing as Treader seemed to hold his own, he stays in the driver's seat. The other big storyline coming out of the offensive line, Derek Sherrod getting, I believe, over 40 snaps. I think it was 43, according to ProFootballFocus.com, for Derek Sherrod. You know, Derek Sherrod basically, although he made a comeback last season and was on the Packers roster and kind of played on extra point protection last year and got a cup of tea on offense, Derek Sherrod, this was his first extended playing time since his injury suffered in 2011. Gruesome injury. Fractured both the tibia and fibula. Derek Sherrod, simply for coming back from injury and not looking out of place, was a great positive. But we can go further than that. Derek Sherrod actually looked good out there. Now, we're talking with the second-string offensive line facing a second-string defense, basically. But Derek Sherrod got time at both left tackle and right tackle, which is important now that Don Barclay is out for the season, it looks like, with a torn ACL. Packers going to have to rely on Derek Sherrod to be the swing tackle, both left side and right side. He plays both sides Saturday night and really does fine. Holds down the fort. It's great just from a standpoint that he saw extended playing time for the first time since his injury, but it did. It went beyond that. He looked good in his debut, his 2014 debut, we'll say. So really encouraging for Derek Sherrod. You know, even thinking he could maybe, if he had to be, part of the Packers' first-string offensive line, which, by the way, did well. I mean, talking about David Bakhtiari, Brian Bulaga, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, those guys only stayed in there for a series, but they look good in opening up holes somewhat for James Starks. Second-string, third-string offensive line, I thought the performance was grim for a pair of players, Aaron Adams and Jordan McRae. Those kind of guys look like they struggled a little bit. Now, granted, these guys aren't expected to make the Packers roster, so hopefully they won't be a problem for the Packers by the time the regular season starts. But they're not doing a whole lot to say, hey, keep me around and develop me on the practice squad or however it is. Those guys struggled a little bit in their 2014 debuts. They're going to have to turn it around if they want to, you know, keep on getting opportunities with the Green Bay Packers. So there, we kind of touched on the whole offensive side of the football. Now time to get down to the defense here. Whereas the Packers sat their stars, Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, Jordy Nelson on offense, the stars on defense have to play. Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers making his green and gold debut in a game environment. Both out there to start along with everybody else. Everybody except Morgan Burnett was healthy and out there and getting an opportunity, getting a shot. Nothing special from Julius Peppers. You kind of hoped that's what you would have seen from him. You kind of hoped, like, wow, here's the big free agent acquisition. Let's see him flash and let's see that athleticism. Didn't really see that from Julius Peppers. Was just kind of out there. Didn't do anything special. Now, granted, the Packers kept the defense vanilla. Weren't show any exotic blitzes or anything like that, you know. So I don't think, you know, just like the performance of Matt Flynn, tough to gauge a lot from what we saw from Julius Peppers. Played 10 snaps. So he wasn't out there a long time. Same for Clay Matthews. Not doing much. The Packers force a 3-and-out the first series of the game. I think the starters on defense, by and large, played two series because they just forced the 3-and-out. They came out for another series. End up giving up that touchdown along with some penalties, which was a little bit, you know, disappointing. But anyway. That was really about the only notable stuff from you know, I guess if we start with the linebackers, you know, just because those are the stars of the team. Peppers and Matthews give way to Neal and Perry. And I would say the whole rest of the game, just kind of blah from the outside linebacker position. Outside linebacker seems to be the position with the most depth, at least in terms of numbers, on the Packers training camp roster, on the 90-man roster. I mean, they have like four strings of outside linebackers. You got Peppers and Matthews as your starters. Then you got Neal and Perry on the second string. You've got Malumba and Palmer on the third string. Then you got Carl Bradford and Jayron Elliott on the fourth string, and then you still got Adrian Hubbard in there as well. Because the Packers have so many outside linebackers, I think it's going to be tough for them to evaluate these guys because each one of them only got like 10 snaps. If some of the outside linebackers didn't even get 10 snaps. I think Carl Bradford, the rookie fourth-round draft choice, got 6 snaps or something like that. Whatever it was, I don't even think it reached double digits. And it's tough to evaluate those guys when they're not even getting any playing time. You know, you kind of felt maybe the Packers should have just sat Peppers and Matthews on Saturday night. They didn't do anything anyway. Might as well give these young guys some playing time and a shot to prove themselves. I mean, what do you have all these guys in camp for? You know, who are you going to keep around? Well, they're not getting a chance to prove themselves out there. I would have liked to have seen the rookies, especially, you know, Palmer, Elliott, Hubbard. I would have liked to have seen these guys get a little extended playing time to see what they've got. But that's the situation the Packers are in. They've just got so much depth that, you know, snaps are divvied up between all of them fairly equally, at least they were Saturday night, and none of them really did much with the opportunity, really. Inside linebackers, Brad Jones ends up getting the highest grade of any Packers defensive player from ProFootballFocus.com. I was kind of mad because I thought he got caught out of position on the touchdown run the Packers gave up to Sean Green that second drive of the game that was extended by penalty. Yes, Julius Peppers got too far upfield. I still thought Brad Jones overcommitted to the inside when he should have known that there's a huge gap to his right, and B, that the running back could very well easily have gone there. You know, that's what it was set up to do.
or at least to have that option for Sean Green. So I was a little bit disappointed with that, but Brad Jones does make the nice tackle for a loss. And apart, really, apart from the touchdown run, Brad Jones looked good. It's tough because people, I think, just remember the touchdown and then don't remember the dozen other plays that Brad Jones looked solid on. And so, you know, it kind of leaves a little bit sour taste in the mouth. But, you know, Pro Football Focus, as we'll have Nathan Yonke on Wednesday, they grade every single play. They recognize Brad Jones, hey, outside of this one play, he did look good in all the others, and that's encouraging. A.J. Hawk was just in there for, I think, less than 10 snaps as well. Did nothing too much notable before giving way. I thought Sam Barrington, maybe of all the backups, perhaps looked the best. Just looked solid out there. Looked assignment sure. Made a couple nice tackles. Nothing outstanding. No sacks or anything like that. But Sam Barrington, I thought, had maybe the best game of all the backups. Chamari Lattimore was out there, didn't do a whole lot. Joe Thomas, unfortunately, suffered an injury. He only played four snaps, made a nice special teams tackle. But Joe Thomas had to leave, opening the door for Corey Jones and Jake Doty to end the game at the inside linebacker position. Those guys looked okay. Well, of course, Jones... Corey Jones gets the interception on the deflection. Good moment for him. Nothing too much he did. It was just a batted pass up in the air that he happened to come down with. Good for him that he came down with it. But it was less a factor of him making a play than just being in the right position at the right time. But glad he had the opportunity to set up the Packers for a scoring opportunity. So, all right, we did the linebackers. Now to the defensive line then. I think, you know, B.J. Raji was out there, didn't play a whole lot. I think the focus was on, you know, more so, can these guys like Mike Daniels and Dayton Jones be starting three down defensive linemen for the Green Bay Packers? Mike Daniels has the lowest grade of any Packers defensive player from ProFootballFocus.com, and mainly has to do with Mike Daniels getting pushed around a little bit in the run game. We all know Mike Daniels can be a pass rusher, and he seemed to, in his limited playing time, got a little bit of push there. You know, again, tough to put any stock into the 14 plays or whatever that Mike Daniels was out there. Still, has to hold his ground a little bit better against the run. Dayton Jones didn't do anything too notable. I think the biggest thing, you know, the biggest takeaway maybe of the defensive line is how well undrafted rookie Mike Pennell is doing. The mammoth 334-pound defensive tackle from Colorado State Pueblo. He's looking good and looking like he's pushing for a roster spot. Actually get some playing time with the second string defense out there. Looking good, Pennell is. He shows he's got a quick first step. He doesn't have speed, but he's got a quick first step. He's got some power, and he's just got, you know, the size you're looking for, especially as a run stuffer. You know, whereas the Packers lost from last season, Pickett, Jolly, C.J. Wilson. Well, Mike Pennell looks like he might be able to replace some of that size they lost and maybe, you know, come up with one of the final roster spots on the team. Not too much notable from Josh Boyd, Kyrie Thornton, the undrafted rookies on the team like Carlos Gray, Luther Robinson. Nothing too notable there. Mike Pennell's the story of the night on the defensive line, I think. All right, getting to the Packers secondary. Cornerback position, again, Sam Shields, Tremon Williams, they're out there, they get the start, they play a handful of plays, and they exit. Nothing too much from the starters. The players of the day from the cornerback position, I think two guys really kind of stood out Jarrett Bush being one of them, leads the team with 8 tackles, and he does that basically by playing less than a half of football. Jarrett Bush seems to be getting better with age, even though he's almost at the point where his skills should be declining. It's been a slow climb for Jarrett Bush, but it certainly seems like, wow, he just continues to get better, and he hasn't hit his peak yet, because he was just around the football. He's always been tough and just loves to tackle and make contact, and he showed that, and the highlight of the night, of course, was his sack on a blitz, and you know, of which he is untouched. The Packers set up a nice stunt that, you know, Bush was able to get in there rather quickly, but he made the play. He, too, himself looked quick in getting to the quarterback, and one of 8 tackles on the evening. Great job for Jarrett Bush. He's looking like he's got a roster spot solidified. All right, I think some people out there kind of wonder, like, okay, let's get over the Jarrett Bush era and let's give the young guys a shot. Let's pump the brakes. I think Jarrett Bush has his worth as a backup defensive back, more importantly, his role on special teams. And I think another guy who stood out was Jamal Roll, the second-year player. Well, might be technically that first year because he didn't play a whole lot last year. But he was around, you know, on the Packers practice squad last year. He was the guy who came on a blitz and forced the fumble, but also had a nice tackle out there. Jamal Roll just looking solid for the Packers defensive back. He arguably might be ahead of, in the battle for a roster spot, ahead of Packers 6th-round draft choice, Dimitri Goodson. Kind of had some good and some bad Saturday night from Goodson. Ends up, you know, getting a penalty, giving up a long reception early on. Fails to get his head turned around and does, you know, looked a little bit lost out there. He kind of looked like a basketball player out there, still learning football. But he comes up and later he makes up for it and breaks up a pass in the end zone, which kind of you came away feeling good about that part of his game. I suppose that's what you could understand for a 6th-round draft choice who's going to make a few mistakes. Hopefully Dimitri Goodson just builds on that and you know, continues to get better and better as time goes on. I don't know if the Packers can find a spot for him on the 53-man roster. It's going to be tough. That one might come down to the very end. But Jamal Roll, I would say, probably has the upper hand right now on that spot. Finally, safety position on defense here. Morgan Burnett out of the game. Strained oblique, so he doesn't start. Giving Micah Hyde and Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix the starting nods in the secondary. Well, whereas most of the starters came out of the game on defense after 2 series, the Packers want to see both Hyde and Clinton-Dix out there. First time they've ever played safety in a game environment, Clinton-Dix simply being a rookie. They want to get these guys ready for the regular season. So they play the entire first half. Clinton-Dix gets his welcome to the NFL moment early on in the game. Dexter McCluster of the Titans, the 170-pound slot receiver slash running back, kind of in the same mold as Randall Cobb, except even smaller. McCluster ends up getting ahead of speed on a carry, runs Clinton-Dix over. He fails to wrap up and gets ran over for a nice long gain. And you know what? Maybe that knocked a little bit of sense into Clinton-Dix because he looked solid from that point forward. Made several tackles. I thought did well in coverage. Probably his most notable point of the evening was his pass breakup in which he's covering the tight end. And he gets beat on a little bit of move, kind of bites for this little juke fake. The tight end gets upfield and, you know, probably, you know, should have come away with a reception. Clinton Dix recovers to bat away the football, in which, first of all, I think it's nice to see a guy who's above 6'1" out there at the safety position. Clinton Dix used his length and his long arms to bat that football away, showed some good recovery, and showed some good awareness in terms of breaking that football up. He's lucky because he got beat off the line, but Clinton Dix showed some athleticism out there. You know, had it been a better tight end, a better quarterback who put that ball in a little bit tougher position, maybe he doesn't get to that football, but I thought Clinton Dix showed some athleticism out there. It was an encouraging start for the rookie. We'll call it that. Again, as long as he can keep building off of that, he should be in good shape. Micah Hyde looks good out there. He didn't do anything too special, but didn't give up any long completions or anything like that. He looked like he belonged at safety. He did. He looked like he belongs out there. He's not making mistakes. I think that's a good enough reason to be encouraged by Micah Hyde's first game. And Micah Hyde also looks more comfortable returning punts than Davante Adams does out there, albeit Hyde himself had a muff. Davante Adams had two. I like Hyde out there on punt returns, which I guess kind of transitions us here into specialists. The NFL experiments with the 33-yard extra point for the first time on Saturday evening. So Mason Crosby is out there kicking his 33-yard extra points. He's perfect on the night, does a fine job. I don't know how long this experiment will be with the NFL in terms of the ball being spotted at the 15-yard line. I can't imagine the NFL keeping that into the regular season, although perhaps stranger things have happened. I'm not sure. Tim Mastey, I thought, looked fine for the conditions, the downpour, the wet ball. I thought he did fine out there. And both of them kind of getting a shot on kickoffs. And both Crosby and Mastey looked pretty good on kickoffs as well. So kind of there you are, position by position, the entire first game, every position on the roster, how guys looked, who's looking good, who's looking bad. I thought it was a fun game to watch. You know, if you're a hardcore Packers fan, I know the games don't count in the standings. And sometimes it's tough to watch, you know, inferior players, the third and the fourth string, guys who, you know, are on the NFL bubble. You know, it's tough to watch that sometimes. But I think it is fun to see those guys fighting for those roster spots, the guys who are going to make the team, you know, be those last 52nd, 53rd additions to the team. I like seeing progress from guys. I like seeing how the rookies develop. I think those are all fun to watch if you're a hardcore Packers fan. And if you've made it into this 50-minute podcast here, you too are a hardcore Green Bay Packers fan and want to know how these guys are looking out there. We'll get more into this game on Wednesday on Real Bird Central. Like I said, when we bring Nathan Yonke back for his fourth season from ProFootballFocus.com, breaking the game down. So excited to talk to him in a little bit on Wednesday, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. So my call to action today, to end every show in response to us providing free content at Cheesehead TV, no subscriptions, no paywalls, free podcasts, I ask you to do one small thing. And our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, she is out today on vacation. She won't be joining us all week. But all I want you to do, if you have a Twitter account, please give Jamie a follow. She works so hard behind the scenes here at Cheesehead TV. Her Twitter username, Jamie Lee 1, JAYMELEE, and the number 1. Jamie Lee 1, give her a follow on Twitter. That is my call to action today in response for your free podcast. Go out, give Jamie a follow. Big time Packers fan, does a lot between the behind the scenes here at Cheesehead TV on the website side. Things that you might not always notice from time to time, but she's working hard for us and deserves a few more followers, I think, at the very least. So that's our call to action today. Please do that, and we'll see you back here at Cheesehead TV on Wednesday for our next episode of Railbird Central. We'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Alex Talich and myself, Brian Kirvu, we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called The Place That I Call Home by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.